Holy One, true and living God, through the message of the gospel and the power of your Spirit, speak your word to us today.
Amen.
So, this is the weekend when we celebrate our country's birthday. How did you spend the 4th of July? Did you watch fireworks? Did you eat delicious things that are not especially good for you? Did you reconnect with family or friends or neighbors? Those are all good things. But there's one more thing that I invite us to do if you have not already done it, or to do it again. That is to remember to be thankful for the privilege of being part of a free nation. Sometimes I take it for granted. You know, I just take water for granted, don't you? I just assume that when I turn on the faucet that there will be a supply of clean, safe water for my use. I never even think about it until something happens that it's not there anymore. So I take it for granted and I forget that there are people in this world, even in our own state, who do not have that privilege. And there are places in the world right now where women and girls have to make arduous journeys in order to get water for their families, for cooking, for washing, and for drinking. I never even think about that. I just take it for granted. You know, the precious freedoms that we experience in the United States, oftentimes I just take them for granted. And I forget that there are places in this world where they don't have those freedoms. In 1941, the State of the Union address was given by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was our president at that time. And he listed what he called the four freedoms, which he said that were available to us in the United States, and which he thought should be available to the entire world. And those four freedoms were the freedom of speech and expression, the freedom of worship, the freedom from hunger, and the freedom from fear. I just take for granted that I can worship wherever I want in whatever way that I wish to. I take it for granted that I am afforded the privilege of voting, and I forget that there are places in this world where people die for that privilege. And in fact, at other times in our own history, there have been people in our own country who have died for trying to claim that privilege. I take it for granted that I can criticize the government. And that may be, in fact, sometimes the highest form of patriotism. I take it for granted that I can criticize the government and not be in fear for my life because of that. And there are 100 other freedoms that are ours that are so ingrained in our way of life that we just assume that, just like water coming out of the faucet, that they will always be there. I am grateful, even at this moment when nationally we are so polarized, where we feel so off balance, I am grateful to live in the United States. And the 4th of July weekend helps me to be in touch with that, and perhaps even for a brief moment to not take my citizenship for granted. Does that mean that we are not flawed? Of course not. We have deep imperfections. And I am sometimes embarrassed by what we do nationally, but you know, I'm sometimes embarrassed by what goes on in my own family. And there are times when I am embarrassed by what the general church does. Now, does that mean that I don't love my country, or I don't care about my family, or that I love the church any less? Of course not. And in gratitude, we remember that we have the privilege and the responsibility of citizenship in this country. And we pray that God will give us the courage and the ability to help make our country even better, more in alignment with the ideals on which we were established. Now, the scripture for today is from Galatians. The whole of Paul's letter to the Galatian congregation is concerned with Christian freedom. Paul is discussing it in this particular passage that we will consider together. Here now from Galatians 5. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, it's the July 4th weekend, and we celebrate our national independence, the founding of our republic. We celebrate the day when a group of very talented people, the founding fathers, and we also remember that there were already many fathers on this soil before the ones arrived from Great Britain. The ones that we call the founding fathers gathered and took, at the risk of their very lives, the founding of a new republic. The National Day of Independence is, for most people, a day to get off work, to enjoy the delights of summer, and sometimes amid the fireworks and the vacationing and the trips to the mountains and to the beach. July 4th is a time to step back and to take stock of our nation. If we do that, then we often give thanks for the blessing of living in a democracy, however flawed, however fragile. Sometimes, if we are in a reflective mood, we might give a critical assessment of our nation. How can we be better as a people? What might our nation do in order to be a true democracy with the blessings for everybody? How can we live up to the vision of our founders on this holiday when we celebrate the founding of our country and the freedoms that we enjoy? Well, Paul is talking about freedom in this passage, and he reminds us at the beginning of the reading that freedom is a birthright for human beings. Verse 13 says, we are called to freedom. There is a freedom that belongs to all persons simply because they are human beings. Our Declaration of Independence says that freedom is from God, and that God has granted us, because we are human beings, certain inalienable rights. The United Nations made a Declaration of Human Rights in 1948 that expresses a basic ideal of freedom for all people. Unfortunately, not all the member countries of the United Nations seem to be committed to providing their citizens with these basic freedoms. But the basis of both the United Nations Declaration and the United States Declaration of Independence is the birthright of dignity for human beings, all human beings. But there is a citizenship for us as Christians that supersedes our citizenship in this country, or even our role as citizens of planet Earth. That citizenship is not here on Earth. Philippians 3, verse 20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And the way God values each person, remembering that God has created us in God's own image, that value is demonstrated as it has reached its dramatic climax for us who are Christians, who follow Jesus, in the gift of Jesus Christ for us. St. Augustine was right when he said, God loves each one of us as though there were only one of us to love. God loves each one of us as though there were only one of us to love. Think of it. Christ Jesus would have given himself for you, even if you were the only one needing salvation. There is a liberty, which is our birthright as human beings. But there is a level of freedom that is uniquely Christian. The internal freedom of the Holy Spirit enables us to live with dignity and meaning, even when we live with oppression. I'm thinking, for example, of Nelson Mandela, who was a political prisoner for 27 years, and yet never lost his faith, never lost his sense of personhood and dignity. Freedom, however, requires discipline. Verse 13 says, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. You probably already knew deep down that freedom is connected to discipline. Freedom does not mean the opportunity to do whatever it is we want. That is not true freedom. For example, here come Marilyn and Pam. Each Sunday, you know, I have a deal with the children where if I mention their name in a sermon, I owe them a dollar. So I owe you all a dollar now. Here they come every Sunday and they sit down at the piano and the organ and they begin to use their fingers to strike notes, which makes music, which enhances our worship. Could it be that either Marilyn or Pam just simply waltz in 5 minutes before the service begins and sit down and do that? Is it something that just came out of them to give them the ability to do that? Well, you probably already know the answer. While they may have innate talent, their ability to do this comes out of years of discipline and continued practice even now. And then they have the freedom to come in and to look at a piece of music and to be able to reproduce it as sounds. The freedom comes from their discipline. Paul tells us, and we know from our own experience, that freedom requires discipline. Freedom, Paul also says, requires love. The whole law, he says, as he quotes Jesus, is summarized in the phrase, love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor as what? As yourself. Now that, of course, presupposes that you love yourself in a healthy and appropriate way. But that's a sermon for another time. Stay tuned. Albert Schweitzer was born in 1875. He was quite a remarkable person. He was ordained as a pastor, but he was also a gifted musician, and he is best known in musical realms for his interpretation of the complete organ works of Johann Sebastian Bach. After he served as a pastor for several years, he determined that he was being called to Africa as a medical missionary. And so he began medical training, and eventually he established a hospital in Lambare, Gabon, in Central Africa. Once, on furlough from his hospital, he was invited to be the commencement speaker at a college, and he concluded his address with these words, "I do not know what the future holds for any of you, but this I know, the only ones among you who will be truly happy are those who find a way to serve." Was Albert Schweitzer right? Remember that service takes many forms. Think about your own life. When have you experienced your most satisfying moments? Marion Preminger spent many years serving with Albert Schweitzer in Africa. In her autobiography, she writes, "Albert Schweitzer said there are two kinds of people. There are people who help, and there are people who do not. The thing that gave my life meaning was that I learned to be a helper." Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if at the end of our lives it could be said of us that we had learned to be helpers? That we had followed in the steps of the one whom we call Master, who came not to be served, not to be served, but to serve. By giving ourselves, we find ourselves. We know on this weekend, when we remember that freedom is not only a national issue for us as Christians, but it is also a spiritual issue. We know that the criteria for Christian freedom is serving one another in love. Now, Lord Jesus, we know that you want the best for us. It must really disappoint you when we fail to be the kind of devoted followers that you need. You know of the needs of this world and the capability that we have of meeting those needs. You know the capacity that we have in bringing words of hope and healing through actions of compassion and justice. And we are hesitant in our commitment to you and to ministries of peace. We want good things to happen. We just aren't sure that we are up to the tasks that you set before us. Forgive us when we so easily doubt your call, your presence, and your abiding love. Strengthen us that we may be those who help and who serve you through serving others. And may it be to your glory. Amen.